when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening to all you precious family members out there that listen into this program. And what is this program? This program is Blood River Radio. It is the only radio program. It's like a civil defense program. We call it a network that's dedicated from day one, one purpose, to fighting against the ongoing program of global white genocide. And people, it is it's on steroids now. It really is. We're going to have to really step it up in our prayers. Et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, that's Blood River Radio. And our poster child for global white genocide has always been, at least it started off that way, South Africa. The butchery that's going on in South Africa there. It's coming here. It's in Europe already. But anyway, my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We were syndicated proudly by Liberty News Radio and the crew there. And Miss Lizzie, Miss Teenage America, just got you talking to her. And, you know, she's such a sweet kid. Talked to her husband for the first time. Anyway, that's kind of personal right there. But anyway, once again, my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. And this is a Christian radio program. But before I forget, happy Pearl Harbor Day plus seven, another useless war that killed millions and millions and millions of white Christians. Anyway, I'm going to shut the hell up. We're getting ready to go say the prayer. If you don't mind, Jason, I know you're probably, it just came on because I know where you are. Would you feel like saying the prayer today, Jason?
Sure, no problem.
Well, go ahead, bro. I would be an honor if you'll say the prayer for the Blood River Radio prayer. Bow your head, everybody.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you that we can come here and listen to this show. We pray that you'll just give each one of us here wisdom, give our listeners the knowledge and ability to know to continue to fight for our race, blood, and our culture. We pray that every day you just give us the strength and the courage to be a witness to our people. We pray for just our listeners. We pray for our hosts. We pray for Blood River Radio. We know that we're not supported by Fortune 500 companies. We are supported by men and women that love this show, and we pray that we can be an instrument in your work in reaching our people. We ask all this in your holy and precious name. Amen.
I'd like Amen. To thank you so much for that. Thank you so very much, Jason, my spirit son. And we also have another warrior on here with us, Real Franklin. We'll be going to these two fellows in just a minute. But people, you know, the real here, all you people that have been listening for a while, we always go to the donors immediately after the prayer. And I'd like to thank you, Jason, for saying that prayer, brother. I really do. Anyway, we have Jim, my old buddy Jim of Washington State. He sent me a really nice Christmas card, a really nice gift. He's a loyal, never fails donor. We could not go with people without a Jim of Washington State. And Miss Buddy, who could say more about Miss Buddy? I love her to death. She loves everybody. Matter of fact, Jason could tell you, I don't know anybody they haven't donated. And anybody that's on our plane, our spiritual plane, and fighting against global white genocide, her husband, Mr. Buddy, God bless him. He supported, without Mr. Buddy, there would be no Blood River Radio. He saved us very early on in the beginning, very early on. I mean, we were hanging on by a thread, and he saved us. So thank you so much, Mr. Buddy. Thank you again, Mr. Jim of Washington State. And also, old Biscuit. I couldn't say enough. I could talk for an hour about Biscuit. I could never repeat myself for what he's done for this program and what he's done for upcoming project we have in the pipeline. We got a big project coming up, y'all. And I know Jason though, so I was talking about it. So does Alan, and so does Will. And also, another one, Sasquatch down in the swamps. He's down there in the swamps of Florida with Old Biscuit. They're both in the swamps of Florida. Sasquatch sent us in a very nice donation, a very nice note. I love those people. I really do. We have, like Biscuit said, our supporters are organic. We have people that love us. We don't have any big-time donors. We don't have any corporate donors. And we don't have any millionaire donors. We just have a lot of people who love this program, and they believe in what we're doing. And I'd like to thank them once again. And at the first of the year, I need to thank everybody that supports this program. Well, anyway, folks.
Eddie, I would like to pipe in here. I really would encourage all the listeners out there to, you know, really this time of year, you know, so often with Christmas time, you know, everyone's obviously busy, you know, spending money on all Christmas presents and stuff like that. But send $10, $15, $20, $30 at least to Blood River Radio. This time of year, I know it's the same with our ministry. This time of year, the money starts drying up because people are using it for other purposes. But, you know, Blood River Radio is so essential for the listeners out there and reaching our people. And so I would encourage the listeners to really, you know, get an envelope and send a check, a money order cash to Blood River Radio this year, you know, the end of this year, and especially around tax time, January, 1st of February, because, you know, this is, you know, the dark days of winter is really stressful for, you know, people like Eddie Miller that is trying to continue to, you know, continue the radio program and reaching our people. And again, you guys are not supported by, you know, Fortune 500 company. I don't think you've gotten any type of word from Ford company that, you know, they're dropping it, you know, $1 million to the show or anything like that, Eddie. But I would really encourage, you know, everyone out there, you know, 15, 20, 25 bucks, a lot of that would be so helpful for this program.
I certainly appreciate that. Thank you so much, Jason. My heartfelt thanks to your heartfelt solicitation to help us going. I just talked to Sam Bushman not an hour ago, called about half hour before the program, and our contract, it's funny, it's just something, I guess it's a coincidence that you said that. Our contracts will expire January 1st, and we have to renew it. So, yeah, it's always tight. It's airtime is very expensive. It's not cheap, well, go ahead, Jason.
I was just saying, you know, I always use the saying that my dad says, you know, because so often people will often say, gosh, you know, they're always asking for money. They're always asking for money. And my dad will say, no, it's the same analogy as you have a soldier on the battlefield and you're shooting, you run out of bullets and it's like, I need more bullets. And the person next to you is saying, well, you keep on asking for more bullets. Well, yeah, I'm out of bullets. I need more bullets until we win this war. It's the same exact thing. Until we win this fight, we continually have to ask money because it's not like that. You someone spends $20 or $30 and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, the war's over. We're victorious. No, we continually have to ask for money because we're constantly spending money for the air show, for, you know, other programs with Blood River Radio, and it is very expensive. And so, yes, until we win this fight, until we are victorious, we always have to keep on asking for money.
That is so true. I really appreciate you doing that, Jason. I guess I'm like a lot of people. I have kind of a hard time asking for money, but it is absolutely essential. And like you said, not only is the airtime increasing, and is it very expensive, but we have a big project in the works. And it's going to be a treat for all of our Blood River Radio listeners, and I think it's going to bring people together. But that's about all I can say about it. Because you know how it is, we'll be attacked by Antifa and the BLM and all these woke, self-hating people. But if you can, yes, support us, and we greatly appreciate it. I guarantee you, talk about bullets, talk about ammo, we've never fired a round that we didn't take out an enemy. That's kind of an analogy right there. So your money goes. It doesn't go to break casings. It doesn't go to anything but Blood River Radio. God knows it's, anyway, that's barely enough to cover it all. But with that, excuse me, we're about to go to a break. And Jason's going to come on after this break. Excuse this hack, y'all. When we come back, Jason's going to tell us about his road trip up to Washington, D.C. He's going to fill us in on what he saw. I'm sure there'd be plenty. And we'll also have, we got more we could possibly cover. I forgot to outline. Monica Schaefer, Paul Frum will be bringing on a political prisoner who just got out of prison on the second hour. You won't want to miss that. We'll have Gene Andrews. He'll be returning. I think he was off last week with his advanced class, college-level Confederate history course. So be right back, folks. You get about a two-minute break. That's about all, though. So don't be late coming back. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, I always feel very lucky and blessed when I have these two guys coming out here. So like we said right before we went to the break, Jason, Rob, just my spirit son, he went to Washington, D.C. not long ago, him and his family, to meet up with his sister-in-law. And I think he even went to the Pentagon and places like that. And we're going to ask him what he saw in Washington, D.C. As you well know, we had two National Guardsmen recently murdered there in cold blood, right there close, I think, to the White House. Jason's been to the Pentagon, all kind of stuff like that. So if you will, Jason, as you will, in your own words, and you're very good at words, I mean, you being an attorney at law, let us know what went on in D.C., whatever, anything you saw. Go ahead, son.
Yeah, so we went up there that week of the Thanksgiving break. So we drove up there Sunday and before Thanksgiving, and then Tuesday we went actually in D.C. My sister-in-law, she's in the Air Force, and so we went up there and toured Washington D.C. and it was on a Tuesday. And we went, you know, various places, drove, you know, by the Pentagon. We drove to the Washington Monument, walked around the Washington Monument to Lincoln Memorial, Vietnam Memorial. And so we walked around all downtown area. And what was amazing to me, because I've been to Washington, D.C. a couple times in the past, it's probably been about 15, 20 years before that. But what was amazing is the whole day we were there, the whole day throughout Washington, D.C., walking around, we did not see one homeless person. We did not see one homeless tent. We didn't see anyone out there begging for money, no transients, no one. And it was amazing because in the past, they were like all over the place. You know, they would be around the monuments. They would just be hanging around. The people would be coming up and begging for money. And literally, we did not see one. And it was just really amazing. I just kept on making that comment to my wife that it just, you know, it was not only amazing to see, but when Trump said, "No, I'm making Washington, D.C. great again," I'm like, well, I guess he really did as far as this area, you know, because, you didn't see any of that. And so it kind of is a reflection that, you know, when you have law and order, and you actually have law and order in these areas, then you don't have these problems. And, of course, I felt very fortunate because we were there that Tuesday. Where we parked at on the street was on 17th Street. And the next day we were back at my sister-in-law's house. And the very next day, that's when the shooting occurred where they, you know, where that Muslim Afghan killed one of the West Virginia guardsmen and injured the other one. And so we felt very blessed that that did not happen when we were there, because literally it was just one day difference. And so we felt very blessed, but it was just a beautiful thing to see. I mean, I can't even say enough how much of a difference it was, the downtown area. We just enjoyed it. Really, literally could walk around and you felt safe.
Jason, this is Will. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So I hate to interrupt you, but I'm just curious because you're talking about the law and order and how much different it is. Just out of curiosity, did you see a large, like, National Guard presence or DC Metro presence? In other words, was it like walking around in a fortress, or was that really there?
No. I personally only saw about four or five National Guardsmen that whole day. They may have been all over the places, you know, but I only saw four or five. It was not like, you know, when you think of a police state, you know, just law enforcement all over the place. There was not. You know, if you get some near the governmental buildings, obviously, you know, they had, you know, the cops out there and everything else. But as far as walking, you know, to the Washington Monument or the Lincoln Memorial, no, you didn't see any cops per se, no.
So it's contrary to this kind of liberal media coverage that the District of Columbia is on lockdown with troops patrolling the streets and all of that, every corner and all of that sort of stuff, huh?
Oh yeah, that's definitely a bunch of BS. There was no. I would consider heavy law enforcement at all, and that's definitely a lie that they're, you know, orchestrating and telling everyone. And so basically, it's when you actually have law enforcement being implemented and arresting people that's committing crimes and actually doing, you know, doing their job that they're allowed to do, then the streets are safe.
That's kind of that old adage of power perceived is power achieved, isn't it? That if they're actually allowed to do their job, you can get order back pretty doggone quick. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah. It was really great to see. Even when we went to the White House, where you walk and you can stand in front of the White House on the main street there, there was not even like a lot of protest. I mean, there was no protesters. There was one protester with a microphone, but beyond that, there was no other protesters. I saw a lot of people wearing, you know, MAGA hats, you know, and conservatives just walking around, pro-Christian hats. And so I saw a lot of that, just walk around downtown Washington, D.C. And so, yeah, it was almost like day and night from last time I was there.
Wow.
Did you get a chance to, like, any of the public transportation? I'm just curious on that, because I know my experience with D.C. was, man, I would rather ride a subway in New York than to utilize that. I'm just curious if you were around that at all.
I was not. I was not at all. But I didn't. Okay. I didn't see. But I, you know, we walked by some of them. But I didn't even see like in graffiti. I didn't see anything like that. So I can't say as far as on the public transit system or anything like that how it was inside. But I would say that that's probably a reflection of how it was downtown D.C. That is probably the same thing with the metro and the trains and all that. I would assume that you probably don't have that either. But yeah, it really put me back, because I was still expecting like, yeah, you're still going to see, you know, the mess in D.C., you know, like, okay, this is probably maybe hyped up, you know, maybe what Trump is saying. But no, it was really clean and it was safe. I mean, it was remarkable.
You know, when we were in New York back in November, me and my oldest daughter, we go up there for that marathon, and we rode the subway. I guess I'm foolhardy in some ways, but we did, just like Jason, the same way in New York as it was in D.C. We saw I don't think we ever saw more than five guardsmen at a time, and they were in the subway. And we see cops walking two to four. And I guarantee you, all the thugs were gone. I mean, it didn't take that many. But if you didn't see them, the place wouldn't just crawl on the guardsmen. But they were there, and they were carrying their sidearms. And it looked like they were locked and loaded, ready to rock and roll. And that's all it takes. And I think that's a great expression that Will made. Power perceived is power achieved. Or justice, justice.
Right.
Whatever it was that he said. The perception of that. And if you know swift and sure justice, swift and sure punishment, yeah, I think that threat was there. So I've never been afraid. Yeah. I've been to New York a bunch of times. I've never been afraid in that subway. But, you know, it's maybe we just lucked out and didn't get to the bad part. But, yeah.
Well, I think, you know, Will made, like you said, Will made an excellent point. You know, when the thugs and all the criminals out there, if they know they're not going to be detained, they're not going to be arrested, they're not going to have to be punished for anything, then yeah, there is going to be lawlessness. And so, yeah, when you have cops that are actually able to do their job, then the thugs know, okay, well, they're going to do their job. I better not commit this crime, or I may not be open about it. And so it really does give that perception that, you know, that the cops are going to be able to be there and they're going to do their job. And so they're going to go somewhere else for the most part, these criminals.
You know, when you flip on a light switch, the cockroaches scurry away. And that's kind of what we're talking about. And then, I mean, you throw a little goodness and a little law and order at it, and all of a sudden they want to go back in the holes or they crawled out of.
Right, exactly. You know, my dad, you know, he said, you know, talking about all these, you know, and I know, Eddie, you probably could say the exact same thing with, like, regarding Memphis, but, you know, he was raised in Detroit City, and, you know, and he's up in the 60s. He said him and his mom, you know, could walk downtown Detroit. They could even go in sometimes the black neighborhoods, you know, going to parks and like that, and it was safe. Because you had the white man, you know, the cops with the billy club, like, you're getting out of order, you know, we're going to beat you down. You had law and order. And so it's the same thing. All these major cities, you had law and order, and non-whites, they knew their place. You didn't have the criminals out there. And it helped with society, especially a white society.
With that, to hear the music coming to the break. And when we come back, I'd like, since you're the attorney for the Knights Council, I'd like to make a quick comment on my grandfather told me about how the Klan kept total order in Arkansas when he was, before I was even born, and a short time afterwards. We'll be right back, folks, after a short break. Well, actually, it's going to be about 4 minutes, so you got time to get some coffee if you want to.
How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said Friday his department is targeting businesses commonly used to wire money to family members overseas as the Trump administration sets up investigations into alleged fraud involving Minnesota's Somali community.
President Donald Trump has targeted the Somalian diaspora in Minnesota with immigration enforcement actions and has made a series of disparaging comments about the community. He said that the state is, quote, a hub of fraudulent money laundering activity. The new action was prompted in part by a series of fraud cases, including a nonprofit called Feeding Our Future, accused of stealing pandemic aid meant for school meals. Bessent has pointed to a report by conservative news outlet City Journal, which claimed that taxpayer dollars from defrauded government programs flow to Al-Shabaab, an Al-Qaeda-linked militant group that controls parts of Somalia. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
As next year's midterm elections draw near, GOP strategist Aaron McGuire says it's still not clear who will win control of the House of Representatives.
We still don't know what final congressional maps are going to look like. Two, we don't know what retirements are going to look like on either side of the aisle right now when it comes to the ability to hold the House of Representatives. But I understand the American people's frustration. When Democrats shut down the government, the Senate stayed in. The Senate was doing other work in that time frame, and the House was out. I can understand how that dysfunction really upsets the American people when they feel crushed by costs.
The Justice Department is intensifying efforts to uphold election integrity by ensuring accurate and current voter rolls.
We really need to be able to compare the voter rolls. We need to be able to help these states. And the fact of life is that these secretaries of state are supposed to be doing this work themselves. Now, federal government has some resources they don't have, but in the past, the feds have either just not been interested in doing that or have charged a fairly high fees to state.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know, life moves fast. Staying sharp, focused, and clear-headed isn't always easy. That's why the same company that brings you Relief Factor has developed something brand new, Think Factor. Think Factor is made to help you think clearer and perform better daily. It's a powerful blend of nutrients that unlocks mental clarity and precision, nurtures your memory, boosts your attention. With Think Factor, brain power and performance finally meet for lasting daily results. Supercharge your memory, mental sharpness. Your brain is your most valuable asset, powering your creativity, focus, and daily performance. If you're feeling mentally foggy, give it a try. After a couple of weeks of taking Think Factor, it was a game changer for me. Look, the longer you take Think Factor, the better it works for you. If you've ever thought you want to be more clear, more focused, call 800-4-RELIEF. 800, the number 4-RELIEF, or visit relieffactor.com to learn more and order Think Factor. Your first bottle is just $19.95. Think Factor. Think clearer, perform better daily. Call 800-4-RELIEF or visit relieffactor.com for Think Factor.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
former sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we had a wonderful conversation during the break about you've got some great Klan guys here. We're going to let Jason lead off without me taking much time, but the Klan has done such good work in the past. It was a quiet Christian organization. And as Will justly pointed out, we didn't have these giant police forces then. We didn't have these giant sheriff's departments because, you know, the policing was done by the community. That's the way it should be. But anyway, without me running my mouth further, James, if you will, lead off and start off about what you and I'm going to call him Alan, come spell like hell, what you and Will and I talked about the Klan, the good work they did in the past, et cetera, et cetera. But go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, so yeah, we were just on the break. We were just talking about the Klan and how there's been such a misperception and a lie by the enemy. The Klan started in 1865. It's a Christian organization. It's a white organization, obviously, and those were the two trademarks of the Klan. It was a pro-Christian, pro-white organization, and it was a community-based. And the Klan has always been against anything that is meant to destroy its culture and its heritage. And so when you have the various different immigration acts and policies that were trying to be thrown through the bills of Congress in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the Klan was always against that. Any type of way of trying to bring in third world non-white people, the Klan was always against that. The Klan has always been against the Federal Reserve or the manipulation of our money system. It has always been in favor of the constitutional-backed money that was required in the United States Constitution. And so, again, the Federal Reserve, it's a private organization, predominantly controlled by the Jewish extremists, and so the Klan has been against that. The Klan had been against, obviously, having blacks voting in the United States because America was built for white Christianity. And so all these important policies, from abortion to homosexuality, anything that was counter Christianity, the Klan basically fought against. And so that's why the Jews extremely hate the Klan, because of the fact that they did not, have never wavered from being a pro-Christian, a pro-white organization.
You read my mind, Jason, because as you were speaking, I was thinking of at least some of my education of growing up as a young man and being taught by my grandparents some of the virtues of the Klan. And one of the things that, you know, it is pushed down our throats that, you know, the Klan, this racist organization, and it doesn't really talk about the other side of the Klan, at least in the small communities where I kind of grew up in the South. And one of the things that was very pivotal, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is Jason, in your opinion, but one of the things that was pivotal to the survival and the growth of the Klan was the upholding of the virtues of womanhood and the innocence of childhood and of children. And that was one of the reasons why you really never saw out in the open homosexuality or any type of pedophile or child molester that was allowed in the community, or pornographic shops or anything like that. And a lot of people, you know, pushed their finger and tried to bring that in, and it was these Jewish influences from the North and that sort of thing. And what you saw was within the community, maybe not out in the open, but within the community, those people that had the stores or would be able to retail those sort of things, they were quietly told that would not be allowed in our communities. And that really came from the Klans. And I would put it out there, folks, that, you know, for all of the bad reputation we got, we were much more of a cleaner, more moral society than life was. When people point their fingers and say, do you remember when America was great? Well, that was also at the height of the Klan. So I'll let people connect the dots.
Yeah, absolutely. The Klan and your other white organizations was really just a reflection of the communities and the society in your various, you know, states. I mean, they were hugely supported by the local Christian community, and that in the South and even in the North, a lot of people are not aware of it. That in the 50s and 60s. There was a huge, huge Klan presence in the North, and some kind of speculated that there was more Klan membership in the North than in the South, because the North was facing the same issues as the South had previously dealt with, you know, with immigration and non-whites moving the area. And so they were dealing with the exact same thing, but they were heavily supported by the community. So They were not ostracized or anything like that. They were uplifted and promoted, and unfortunately, you know, what we have today is you have a huge non-white population, but my opinion, you know, that my sister uses the line the upside of white genocide, and she uses that phrase because what she says is that when you have more non-whites coming in, more of our culture and heritage being destroyed, is going to cause our white people to stay focused and realize that their lives are actually on the line of being destroyed.
Amen.
And they're going to be more committed, and they're going to be willing to fight to preserve their blood and their culture and heritage. And we are starting to see that now. We're starting seeing white people out there kind of start understanding this. And so the extreme politics that the Klan and white nationalist organizations used to be considered extreme politics are now going to be considered more of the norm. And the average white person out there is no longer going to be looking for another shade of gray, another, you know, Republican or Democratic party system. They're going to be looking for extreme politics, organizations, and political organizations that really is focusing on race. And so we have a tremendous opportunity. So I think we're going to see a resurgence of the presence of the Klan and white nationalism as a whole.
Eddie, I'm going to circle back for just 1 second to something Jason was talking about in the first part of the show, and just to piggyback on what Jason just said, and that is this. You're 100% right, Jason. And right now, there is no better time to support organizations like the Christian Revival Center, Pastor Rob, and Blood River Radio, and our fellow compatriots that are in this fight together to combat white genocide, and the people that are listening to us. What I would like to say is, if you don't believe that the Lord is still in the miracle working business, if you look at the amount of money that comes into these organizations, it is a pittance compared to the millions and probably billions of dollars that are paid out worldwide by our enemies to destroy people like the folks you're listening to on the radio. So if you don't think the Lord is still in the miracle working business, the very fact that we're on the air and we can come to you and spread this message is a miracle. Your money, every dollar of it, it's like the fishes and the loaves. It is just multiplied miraculously in service to the Lord and doing the Lord's work. And there is no time like the present. This, as far as I'm concerned, I'm excited. I don't really know the words of what I want to say. Is, you know, the whole world is saying woe is me, you know, with this whole mass immigration thing. And I don't want people to think that I'm excited that they're here. I'm excited that my people are waking up, that they're here. And, you know, there's no better way to read the room than when you get backed in a corner. And I think that's what's happened to our people. I think we've been back in the corner, and we can see the whole room now and what's coming at us. And I think that's a good position to be in.
You know what you just said, Will, reminds me of Brigadier General, could have been the best, General Chesty Puller, a legendary,
that's right,
Marine commander in Korea. when he was told he was surrounded, the 1st Marine Division, I think the 7th Infantry Division, they were totally surrounded. And he said, great, great, that's good. Well, we won't have to hunt them some bitches down. We can, that'll make our life, that'll simplify our mission finding them. And
we can fire in any direction.
That's right. Absolutely. Kind of like General Nathan Bedford Forrest said that. He said it like he was surrounded one time. They said, what do you want to do? He said, attack in every direction. So I kind of liken that to we're totally surrounded, it looks like right now. But you know what? It makes our life, as far as I'm concerned, easier. And folks, I'm ready to really fix the bayonets and rock and roll. Let's get it on. But and I'll tell you when we come back another little thing, if I don't forget about it, because we got to go to a break in any second now. We're coming up on a break. But I am really enjoying this program today. And believe it or not, folks, I know you don't believe it because you know how I'm really highly structured and organized. We haven't covered one thing that we had on the stinking outline. I never do. I'll never learn. I said, I think I'll make my outline today just for the hell of it. But we haven't tested. But anyway, when we come back, folks, we're going to continue to light up the airwaves. Be right back, folks.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. This hour is just going all so fast, but I was just talking about, and I'm going to shut up in just a second. I'm going to set the table here. The our guys are going to serve the meal. But in the UK, I saw just today before I came into the program, a 15-year-old girl was dragged off. You can see the video. She was dragged off by these two illegals. I guess from Afghanistan. Who the hell knows where they're from? But they were non-white. And they drug this 15-year-old girl screaming, just desperately screaming. They drug her. She was saying, oh, God, no, no, no. She was dragged off into the bushes. This is in UK, in London, I think it was. And they proceeded to rape her. Well, the so-called authorities put them in a youth facility where they have X, they have, you know, get video games, private showers in their rooms, just like a luxury hotel. And the government and these other pro-Islamic, pro-queer groups are saying, we have to be tolerant of these people coming from the other parts of the world because that's in their culture. Well, I'm going to make this quick. Well, here's my culture. I would catch the son of a bitch that raped those girls, and I would take them, and I would throw them in a prison full of homosexuals, and then say, let them just be gang raped, gang sodomized for a week, and let them see how they liked it. And that would be nice. But I'm going to tell you what, that makes my blood boil. And I'm going to say this right here. If somebody was raped, one of my relatives like that, one of my friends, one of my granddaughters, I don't, especially I'm as old as I am, I don't care. They would pray. They would wish like hell that the cops had to put them in jail, because I would make their life so damn miserable. It would be incredible. Before I did them in, I guarantee you. So anyway, without the Klan, the point of that is, if we'd have had the Klan still strong, say for instance in England, and we had it still strong here, we wouldn't have to be worrying about places like Dearborn, Michigan, and New York, in California melting down, because we would have taken care of business way yonder before it got completely out of hand. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, and you're absolutely correct. You know, and the root of all of that comes down to your politicians, your elected leaders. You know, up until, you know, I would say probably, you know, the 60s, you know, for the most part, the politicians and your federal, even your state level, pretty much was nationalistic in nature. They believed in keeping America safe. They believed in America being a Christian country, a white country. Our policies and our laws all reflected that. And it didn't come about until the late 60s, and with the U.S. Supreme Court making horrible decisions, and our, you know, then we had non-whites being flooded in. And so as a result of that, it was just kind of a domino effect. And the same thing was happening in U.K., you know, about the same time. And so now, you know, we not only do our people have to fight against non-whites, but then we also have to fight against our politicians that are actually betraying their own citizens. And so it's really a, you know, somewhat uphill battle in this, but, you know, this is what's causing our people to kind of start waking up and being united. You know, the fact that the media and all that justifies non-whites raping our white women, it's just horrible. I mean, just saying, well, that's their culture. Well, hell with them. You know, that they should not be here in the United States in the first place. And for them to act like it's something okay for them to rape our white women, it's just evil. And that's another form of white genocide. And so our people are seeing that. And that's why that video you showed me, Eddie, before the show, showed all hundreds and thousands of your British in the streets, not tolerating anymore, because they're demanding their politicians do something against these non-whites that are like, they're sexual perverts. They're molesting the white women. They're killing, you know, the white folks, and the politicians are being silent about that.
You know, and before we go to Will, I'm going to say, and if you've noticed, in the UK and here in the United States, it doesn't matter what we, the white people, want. It doesn't make a damn what we, the white Christian people, want. We vote. We get into the streets in the UK. They're melting. The place is melting down. They're doing all they can possibly do because they don't have, unlike the United States, they do not have firearms. They do not have any, like, any weapons that they can take out those little armored police cars in UK. Too bad they don't. We do here, and we know how to do it. But you know, it. No matter how we vote, it doesn't matter which politician we bring in here in the UK, here in the United States. This, it never stops. I mean, they're racing. They're literally melting down the UK. Even in the midst of where this 15-year-old's getting raped, and even when they're just, you know, trying to burn the UK, London down, they're still bringing more in, saying to hell with the people. So what I submit to you guys, it's going to have to get drastic. Instead of the people in the UK fighting the police and fighting these sand niggers, so to speak, they're going to have to go and get the rulers and give them a necktie party and tell them, hey, go up to the top of the stairs, see the man in the black hood. He's got something for you. But in other words, they're going to have to overthrow that damn government. They're going to have to get those people out of there. It's going to take drastic measures. And you know what? It's about the same damn way here. You know, it's I'm going to pass it off to you now, Will. I'm kept so pissed off it's hard for me to talk. Go ahead, brother.
One of the things that struck me as you were talking, Eddie, and as Jason was talking, is, you know, if we look back through history, the systematic rape of a people's women has always come along with the invasions from foreign nationals. In other words, it is a weapon of war, and it has been since the beginning of time. And like what Jason was saying, you know, this whole crutch, this whole argument that, it's a part of their culture. Well, when did culture start superseding law? You know, I'm pretty confident that rape is illegal, throughout Great Britain. And what you have there is a two-tiered system of justice that, you know, if a white man were to go, which would never happen, but if a white man were to go rape a Afghani woman in a burqa, you know, they would put him under the prison. But it doesn't go the other way. And I, you know, Eddie, you've heard me talk about it. I'm going to go back to it as far as, being a Christian and, being God's people. I think we are experiencing the curses that Deuteronomy 28 told us about, you know, that the stranger among us, the alien, is rising higher and higher above us. And, this is the consequences that we are paying, for turning our back on God as God's people. And, so I do believe, Eddie, that, I don't want you to think I'm being contrary to you, because I'm not. I say it, and I'll say it openly, that, you know, for all those folks that, just want to be peaceniks and nonviolent, that's fine. But understand, that doesn't mean that you're going to keep violence from coming to you. And that's really what I see happening with our people, is it's coming to us. There's no denying that. But more than anything, you know, there's going to come a time that we have to deal with that. But what we absolutely have to do as a people, as God's people, is we have to bend our knee, and we have to repent for our national sin of our people turning our backs against God. And we have got to get ourselves right. And be prepared spiritually before that physical battle happens. And that's the 2 cents I wanted to get out there, Eddie.
Well, I'm going to say one thing, then we'll go let Jason take us to the bar, take us home. You know, maybe God is testing us white, the remnant of white Christian men. Maybe he's saying, we're putting all these hells on you. Are you going to have the guts, the courage, or are you going to have the faith in Jesus Christ to stand up and do what needs to be done? I mean, God's not going to just do every little thing and feed us with milk toast. Is he? Maybe he wants us to stand up and go. And I'll say, if before we can do that, we have to prepare. We have to do everything it takes to get prepared. We have to get the beans, the Band-Aids, the boots, and the bullets, and we have to know how to use those things, have them stored. We have to be ready to get in the streets, because, people, it's coming. I guarantee double MT. And with that, I'm going to go to Jason. And, Jason, if you will, go ahead and finish out this hour, son.
Well, I appreciate that. I think ultimately comes down to that, until our people, you know, the God, Jesus Christ, you know, in Matthew says specifically to love your God and love your people. And we understand the covenant people is our white people, or our white ancestors. We are those covenant people. And until our people realize that, that they have a right to preserve themselves, And they have to love each other, which means they have to love their racial kinfolk. And when they love their racial kinfolk, they're going to be willing to fight for that. And so those are the two main laws that God, you know, commanded us, you know, to love him as a Christian people, and to also to love our people, which is our white racial kinfolk. And when our people start doing that, then everything else will come into place. Then our people will no longer backslide. Our people will be willing to be a Christian people and be willing to be a racial people. And that is what our enemy fears the most, is when our white people are looking at them as a racial kinfolk, where they're willing to protect themselves and their white neighbors, then everything changes from there on. And so that's what I would encourage everyone to do. Love your people. Love our white people. And love your Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior.
That could not be a better summation. If you love your people, if you do everything that you just told us to do, Jason, that everything else will take care of itself. I guarantee double M to you. Well, Jason, I would like to thank you so much for coming in. I know you're on a little vacation right now, and you sacrifice an hour being with your family to come in here to do this. I'd like to thank Will for coming in here. What you guys did is a stellar job. I got to stay in touch with y'all. We never have enough time, but we'll have to get y'all back on ASAP. Folks, we're going to transition to the second hour now. We've got Sister Braveheart Monica Schaefer, brother Paul Fromm, and they're bringing a political prisoner who just recently was let out of prison for a while. So be right back, folks. Hang on your seats. Got about a 5-minute break.